It's another week over the last month, another loss for the Titans. Four straight now as they fall in Los Angeles 17-14. More offensive issues. I'm sure many of you want to call in and discuss the play calling. We can absolutely do that. 615-737-1025. Our number. We are live on 102.5 The Game. Hunter Withrow with you from Outkick 360. Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill. Second floor, Margaritaville on Broadway. You can join us here post-game. We've got another game coming up in a couple of weeks that we'll be here for. Is it Jacksonville?
Yeah, we'll be back on, I think it's January 8th.
Okay.
Is that Sunday? Could be off in there. I don't have my calendar in front of me. But final game of the regular season. Hutton, there's a chance that if the Jags continue to win and the Titans continue to lose that game, regardless, the Titans' worst-case scenario is playing Jacksonville for a win and end in that game. We could be talking about an AFC South championship game in our final postgame show. That game in Jacksonville could be for the AFC South and the four seed in the AFC playoffs. Now, if the Titans win next week, we got to go look at the percentages. What happens if the Titans beat the Texans next week? Is that a
That's win part of the formula. Over? That's part of the formula. You need another Jacksonville loss.
With a Titans win.
Yes.
So the Jags.
The Colts lost already, so that's.
Jags play Thursday night in Jersey against the Jets.
The Jets, yep.
Okay.
And so then it's Titans-Texans.
The Titans will know if the Jags lose.
If the Jags lose,
the Titans will know that they beat the Texans at home. They're in.
Titans team, though, isn't beating this Texans team based on how the Texans have played the last 2 weeks.
No.
That's the issue. This looked like the layup on the schedule. And instead, the Titans are now seemingly the layup in the AFC. If you need an AFC win for tiebreaker purposes, you want to play the Titans.
That line's probably going to be 2.5-3 Titans.
I bet we can find
Titans,
it right now.
Titans by a field goal.
That's
my guess. Titans were -3.5 against Jacksonville. But Jacksonville was not Jacksonville the last 2 weeks before they played the Titans. But that was the line going to that game. So I'm guessing it's 2 or 3. Titans will be fed. It's going to be a toss-up.
615-737-1025, our number. So Vrabel had not much to say when it came to play calling today. Derrick Henry, post-game in the locker room. They didn't go to the podium, he or Tannehill. They took questions to the locker room. Henry was asked directly about the, and I saw this from A to Z Sports, asked directly about the not getting the football on 3rd and 2 and his thoughts on it. He paused, he hesitated, and then he said, they're calling what they think is best in that situation. We have to execute it and play better. That is coach speak for we know exactly what's going on.
It's directly from the Mike Vrabel playbook of how to handle questions like that.
Yes, and he's not stirring the pot by answering it any different. You can tell the frustration. And look, Vrabel is also telling us we all know what he's thinking here. The Titans got possession and opportunity in these games. We've seen this before. Kansas City comes to mind. All of the games during the winning streak for the Tennessee Titans come to mind here. Games last season as well. The loss to Pittsburgh, the playoff game against Cincinnati, getting opportunities to score on offense and win the game, and they cannot do it. In the second half today, Chad, 3rd and 2, Titans 29-yard line, incomplete pass. The Tannehill throw into double coverage. You had 3rd and 2, the Titans 46-yard line, incomplete pass. 1st and 10, Chargers 25, sacked, effectively ends the drive. 3rd and 9 from the Chargers 24, later, sacked. Those are opportunities you have to convert to win these types of games. And the score was 7-7 the entire time, and they could not go and just find points. That's what's so frustrating with all of this is I think Vrabel knows, based on the situation, sometimes the play call is fine and the execution of it is horrendous. Now, it can also be flipped. We can flip that as well. Because the idea that somehow Henry should be on the sideline when the game's on the line and you need to tie the game is also, to me, just a head-scratcher. I don't get it. I don't know why they continue to do it. Vrabel's okay with it. We've seen this multiple times, and it's not just this season. This is a downing issue. This goes back to Arthur Smith when he wasn't playing very much on third down. They take him off the field, and it's baffling based on the way they treat him and the way they hype up what their identity is or should be, that they don't lean on it more in tight games in the AFC on the road. Because that is playoff football. They're telling us throughout the season, all offseason, That is a mantra for them, that we can go on the road and win games with this. They went to the AFC Championship game with that. But for whatever reason, they can't go to Los Angeles and hand the football off to him in the second and third quarters.
And speaking of playoff football, the Titans do not need to take this same, it's just another week, we got to coach better, we got to play better, yada, yada, yada approach this week. This is not just your typical week in the NFL at home against the Texans. Carry a playoff mindset into this game. This is a pull out the stops. This is beat a Texans team that has one win this year so far, even though they played better lately, still lost to the Cowboys and the Chiefs.
Yep.
You have to play this game like your life depends on it this week. This is a chance to salvage something this late season, not the whole season, but win, and they're more than likely going to be in the playoffs next week. So to me, this is not just your standard, hey, let's go out there and play it like any other game type approach to this game.
So what do you think about the question we posed right before the break of rebuild or retool and how you phrase this? Because, look.
It's rebuild.
Well, but it's rebuild regardless of what you want to do on offense. It is rebuild. Robert Woods, peace. You're looking at some other factors on the offensive line, especially on the left side from center all the way to left tackle. They have to – and it's nothing against Ben Jones. It's just it's a banged-up situation now where they've got to find options beyond Ben Jones and beyond the lightweight replacements that are in there right now. And in the backfield at quarterback, Chad, they have plenty of questions, and this is a year where they can figure some things out. They have the option to maneuver the cap. They didn't have that last offseason. I'm intrigued by the directions they go here.
And I part of me thinks, Hutton, when we talk about Amy Adams-Strunk and her decision to make this move in season with John Robinson. I was thinking about this part of it this week. I wonder how much of it is John Robinson's, I guess, seeming inflexibility to manipulating the cap. He seemed to be very much a cap hardliner in how he tried to keep this team playoff competitive year in and year out and would not do. There are teams every year we see just do crazy things, and we ask the question, how does that work in the cap? How are they signing this guy and this guy? And then they're paying their quarterback also. But yet it always seems to work out for those teams because they know how to maneuver the numbers in order to work, to go big and go for it. John Robinson was much more of a cap manager to stay below it and never go too big in order to stay at the edge of the playoffs or better. They were better, too, under John Robinson. But to stay in that mode instead of the go-for-it approach.
Well, they invested in a veteran quarterback that tied them up. Well, and instead of paying the and left tackle, and instead of paying the receiver, they decided to give the money to the running back.
But if that's the case, then Amy Adams-Strunk is going to hire a GM that is absolutely going to not just retool, but up-tool, right? It's not a retool. It's not we're going to maneuver some things here.
Yeah.
We're going to go add some big free agents and try to be Super Bowl good again with Ryan Tannehill or whoever they get at quarterback. To me, that would be the mindset. Now, what I think should happen is if you fire John Robinson when they did, you're firing John Robinson because you're saying you built this once to this level and couldn't get us over the hump to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
So this next guy is going to blow it up and build again. We're going to take the pieces we like, the young pieces, and start to not retool, but completely rebuild this thing and go identify another quarterback. My argument is start Malik Willis for a year if it's not Ryan Tannehill.
Oh.
But, hey, the Titans have gone through miserable seasons before. If that miserable season can prove to you that Malik Willis isn't the guy and you can go get a top three or four pick because you're that bad at quarterback, that's where you reset your roster with the new quarterback. And, oh, by the way, you've already been rebuilding because you drafted a left tackle in the first round this upcoming draft. You got a guard in the second round. You see my point.
Well,
you're doing some things where maybe at that point you say, man, Chigakonkwo is going to be Travis Kelce in this league. And, hey, Treylon Burks is going to be really good, where you've got some things that, okay, not all bad here. If we can just find the right pieces to go alongside some of these guys, things are going to get better quickly.
And it starts with
I know that sucks for Titans fans to hear,
well, but
you may have to go into a year where you're going to go 3-14, but that may be what's going to happen soon. So don't delay the inevitable.
Fair enough.
I'm not saying go out and lose on purpose.
They also
I'm saying don't delay the inevitable.
They also have so many holes right now Bud Dupree is not producing at the level they're paying him. They're going to get that off the books, I would suspect. Zach Cunningham, same thing. You know, not double-digit in the millions for the production we're seeing at the inside linebacker position, which is why they didn't pick up the option on Rashawn Evans. You're not going to pay him $10 million-plus for a player that's not on the field but two plays. But meanwhile, I mean, we're saying Henry should be on more, and they're still not putting him on there. It's mind-numbing. Here's how bad the Titans' offense is, just in perspective of the rest of the league. The Titans' offense ranks 28th in points per possession, 31st in scoring drive efficiency, which measures the percentage of drives that you get points on the scoreboard. The Titans' second-half offense, Chad, they're averaging 0.95 points per possession. That is the lowest that we've seen since 2014.
From any team or just the Titans?
From the Titans. That's how bad it's
2014
been.
2014 was a Ken Wisenhunt year and not a good one.
Yeah, that was the
year that Mariota opened the season against Jameis Winston in Tampa and won.
Was it 14 or 15? You're better at the years than I am.
I want to say that was 14. Was Mariota's rookie year. They went head-to-head with Jameis.
Okay.
And then won that game, and that was fool's gold. That team was not good.
The Titans today ran 11 third-down plays. They gained a total of 10 yards on those 11 third-down plays. 615-737-1025. Our number back to the phones as we continue. We are here until 8:30. It is NFL postgame on 102.5 The Game. Chad, the Titans' second-half offense, they're averaging 0.95 points per possession. That's the lowest since 2014. That's for any team. As you look through the numbers, that's how bad the second-half offense has been. No offense so far against Washington and the New York Giants. However, we have an opportunity here with the Commanders to get on the board, and they do.
It is
a field goal, and they take the lead 3-0 with 2:51 remaining first quarter.
Hutton, you know what
this
I'm
is basically
this
a
game?
Playoff win-and-end
you know
scenario
for
the wild
game,
card.
Though, right?
The tie, yeah.
Back-to-back ties. We want these two teams to tie again, like they tied 2 weeks ago. That's what I want more than anything else. I showed you this during the break, but I wonder how many Titans fans, and we'd love to hear from some Titans fans. We've got about 40 more minutes to take phone calls. Had some great calls throughout the show already. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. If you were watching the CBS telecast, I think the first or second commercial break of the game, they just went into a cold commercial that was Tom Cruise jumping out of a plane, wishing everyone
awesome.
Happy holidays from the set of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. And I posted this this question on Twitter, and it got a big response. I feel like Tom Cruise is the last great American movie star. Now, I think the only competition at this point is Leo,
yep.
Brad Pitt, Denzel Washington. But all three of those guys do enough abstract things that they're not just like straight, big-budget
action
movie star guys, right? But they can do it. I'm not saying they can't. But Tom Cruise has, you know, veered off the beaten path a time or two with some of his projects also, but not too much. He's very much, I'm going to go out there to entertain you. That is my sole purpose. My goal is to be
and
on a big
very
screen
specific with it.
And entertain you, and I'm just going to have a million watts of charisma every time I'm on screen while I do it. But, yeah. It was a nice debate, but it was really cool to see that during the Titans game today.
Update on Tannehill from Ian Rappaport. Rappaport says from a quote in the post game today from Tannehill, whatever the top rating on the pain scale was, it was that. That's what Tannehill said about his leg, his ankle as he was carted off. He said that once the initial test came out okay, quote, it was in my hands just to see where I was at. I was in a lot of pain, but was able to get back out there and play. So it sounds as though, it appears as though there's no further injury, quote-unquote, that was worsened based on this situation compared to what it was previously. But it's still a head-scratcher on exactly why they didn't go with the run more from second and third quarter, because he missed a good portion of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they came back out there and did not hand off enough to Derrick Henry.
I was expecting him to look a lot worse.
Yeah, me too.
Especially on that first snap, and it was a handoff to Henry on the very first snap, and he didn't look as ginger on that leg as I thought he would. He was moving okay. Wasn't great, but he was moving better than I thought.
So we saw the Raiders finish. We described it here on the show. Here are the quotes post-game from the Patriots. So the Patriots throw.
On to Cincinnati.
They have a handoff, a draw play, final play of the game, 24-24, Patriots-Raiders. And the New England Patriots are fighting, scratching and clawing for their playoff lives at this point. They entered this week in. They're out now after the Raiders win in dramatic fashion because of a play call that apparently wasn't the result that they intended. They didn't want to go Hail Mary on the final play from regulation. And so Bill Belichick said that they called the draw here, quote, "We made a mistake on the play," end quote. But Ramondre Stevenson, who was the initial guy that lateraled here, and then the second one that went for, 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage, taken away by a Raiders defender, returned for a touchdown in the win. Look, Ramondre Stevenson told reporters it was just supposed to be a draw play, nothing more, nothing less.
So he did that on his own?
They went rogue, I guess. This is bizarre to me that they would do that on the final play. If you have not seen this, you need to get on social media. You need to check this out on YouTube some way. It'll be all over the highlights in what is a crazy finish on a crazy weekend across the league with what we've seen. From a 33-point comeback where the Vikings come back and win, biggest comeback in the NFL history against the Colts, to the way it ends in the afternoon slot with the Raiders and Patriots.
I have a hard time believing.
I don't know why you say that.
That Stevenson just went rogue.
I don't know why you would fall on the sword if you're him, if in fact it was a play call that it was in the book
that
for.
That is a real team move, for him to say, unselfish.
I know.
If that was the call and he's covering for his coaches by saying he went rogue on that one. And I just don't think.
Well, multiple players would have. He wasn't the only one that tossed it backwards.
I just don't think that an NFL player would go rogue to that extent.
It looked like you're down three, you're just trying to get a score with no time left.
Well, did they think they're behind?
No, I mean, there's no way. I did. I looked at the
but
score.
You see my point. Like, it's for Ramondre Stevenson to take it upon himself to say, I'm going to start lateraling.
Right.
It's almost like, oh, they called a draw for me to score, and now I'm about to get tackled, and we're behind, so I need to throw the ball back.
615-737-1025, our number. Chad, looking purely at the drives today for the Titans, between the two touchdowns on the drives, punt, and then they went to the halftime, another punt, an interception, punt, missed field goal in the 51-yarder, two other punts, and then they finally get the opportunity to go down and score. Tannehill 6-for-6 on the possession, doing nothing in between. And the second half offense is bad, but really they're not doing much the entire game. It's not like the first half is anything special. We've just seen them start fast. And today the defense kept them in it. The Titans have lost the last three games when Derrick Henry has rushed for 100 or more yards.
And people being upset with Todd Downing about not giving the ball to Derrick Henry on 3rd and 2, and rightfully so, I believe, Hutton, that first touchdown was a 63-yard drive, and all 63 yards were courtesy of Henry. There was the long screen pass.
Well, yeah, you're right.
And then run plays for Henry, and he eventually scores out of the wildcat formation.
And that's it, because the wide receiver play, 6 catches for 32 yards, tight ends and running backs, 12 catches for 153. They have no depth beyond the rookie, and they are totally reliant on anything short to intermediate. There's no true deep threat. And there's no threat that this offense is ever going to hit an explosive play through the air for much more than a run after catch that would be a surprise at this point, not part of the normal capabilities. Defensively, though, we have seen this time and time again. When we see the practice squad level talent that is called up to the roster, the ability for Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel and that entire defensive staff to put together a game plan that works against what is a very explosive offense for Los Angeles. They should be much better than what they've been. They're capable of winning tight games late with their quarterback and receiver play. But, I mean, this is a game they should have put away. But the plan was really good from the Titans' perspective.
Well, and Robert Woods has been terribly disappointing.
Yes.
That's one that just has not worked to any level at all for what they expected when they signed him. And I thought it was a decent signing. I thought he'd be way more than what he's been.
Yeah, with the trade.
He's not helping them at all.
Yeah, because they were the Rams are paying the majority of his contract.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah, it was part of a trade.
He's coming off the ACL, though. See, that's another thing, is that you get a player that was injured. They wanted to add Allen Robinson and save a little bit because they could push it and kick the can down the road some more. Titans are certainly willing to do that. But at the time, A.J. Brown was on the roster. It makes so much more sense when you pair it with that because you have a number one. Woods isn't capable of being a number one wide receiver.
No, I don't know that he's capable of being a number two wide receiver after the ACL tear.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think he's a number three at best. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is, you know, seems like most of the time when they target him, it's an unsuccessful play. And we saw that time and time again today.
The Titans seem to be unraveling. 17-14, may not seem to be. They are. They're unraveling based on the four games that they've lost now in a row. 17-14 today to the Chargers. And if you think about the first, 8 weeks, they'd won five straight games. They went through the stretch after Buffalo where they just rattled off all these different games and they're playing okay. They're winning. We were up here post-game saying you shouldn't apologize for winning games based on the way you're playing because you're winning. And now it's the opposite. A month ago, they're 7-3. And now they're 7-7. Looking at a playoff game hosting in Nashville, but the Jags continue to win, and there is a window there where we look up and go, man, are they really about to lose out? And is the bad AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 6-8, are they capable of catching the Tennessee Titans with 3 weeks left in the season? The Titans' remaining games, Texans, home against Dallas on December 29th, at Jacksonville on January 8th. And then you have the Jets, Texans, Titans for Jacksonville.
Hey, shout out to Racy McMath, who had his first catch of the year. It was a third and eight play, and it was for 1 yard. He had one catch for 1 yard. And Chris Conley, three catches, 19 yards, two of them from Malik Willis on the drive for a first down. Two in a row for a first down on RPOs.
We are live from Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. We've got another half hour to go. We'll get you a full scoreboard, and we'll also update you on Sunday Night Football between the Commanders and the Giants. Big thanks to Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports for making the show happen. Live on 102.5 The Game, this is NFL Postgame. NFL postgame rolls on 102.5 The Game. Big thanks to everyone tuned in this evening. Chad, update me on what you were just telling me about Brady and the Bucks. They're up 17-0. We knew that. The Bengals come back to win this game. But with Tom Brady, everything is a first or a record.
Tom Brady was 89-0 when leading by 17 or more at home for his career. They lost. Was it 34-17?
Yes.
So up 17-0, 34 unanswered points, lose to Cincinnati. And the one I can remember him losing up 17 on the road, there may have been others, but in 2006, when the Colts and Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl that year, in the AFC Championship game in Indianapolis, I think the Patriots were up 21-3. They were up big in that game. And the Colts came all the way back and won, and that got Manning over the hump. Then he goes and beats the Bears in Miami in the rain in the Super Bowl. That's one of the blown 17-point leads I can remember, but another crazy first for Tom Brady.
The Chargers win again. They've won back-to-back now against Miami and Tennessee, 17-14 winners today. They're now 8-6. They're second in the AFC West. They can't climb higher because the Chiefs clinched the AFC West today. They're the sixth seed currently, though, and the Titans remain in the fourth spot, but here comes Jacksonville. Right now they're 6-8. They're second in the AFC South. They've got a matchup coming up with the Titans in Week 18, but, Chad, this is a Jags team that's playing extremely confident. They're playing well. They're in sync offensively. Trevor Lawrence is spinning it. We pointed this out. Right now they're behind the Patriots and the Jets, but – they control the AFC South if they keep winning, because as long as they keep winning, they have an opportunity to knock off the Titans in Week 18 and a chance to punch their ticket as the AFC South champ.
Trevor Lawrence also broke off a big run late, down three to the Cowboys, and fumbles at the end of it with under 2 minutes left, or right around 2 minutes, They get a three and out, the Jags do. They get the ball back after the punt, and he still goes down and gets the field goal at the end of regulation to tie it and then wins it in overtime. Remarkable little mini run here for Trevor Lawrence, and that is a team that's a problem for the Titans right now. Thursday night against the Jets on the road, Titans fans, you will know exactly what's at stake on Sunday, because if the Jags lose, Titans beat the Texans at home and it's over.
Well, they've got
clinched the AFC South.
So they've got to, based on what I was told during the break, the Titans need to win two and get a Jags loss within the next 3 weeks. But keep in mind, though, they have head-to-head. So that's the point. You have the head-to-head against Jacksonville, and if they keep winning.
So the Titans would need to win two.
Yeah, but one of them can be against Jacksonville. They need to get this week. You're not wrong in the must-win scenario.
I don't think they're beating the Cowboys.
But it's 7-7. They need to continue. The Jags are 6-8. So if they lose again and Jacksonville wins on Thursday, you've got identical records, and you just keep going down the line where you get to Week 18.
Here's what you need to do if you're a Titans fan. Root like hell for the Jets on Thursday night to get the Jags to 6-9 with the chance of the Titans to go to 8-7. They're 7-7 right now.
Yep.
8-7 next week against the Texans. At that point, it's getting close to being over. But I believe the Jags have one more against the Texans, too.
They do.
I think.
They do. 615-737-1025, remember. The Titans' offense leaves this team with no margin for error. That's well covered. But you have Justin Herbert in that pass spoiling a great defensive effort today in L.A. The Titans aren't capable of doing that. And that's the difference between the two. You've got some veteran receivers for L.A., but you also have the quarterback that's spinning it that you trust and that's mobile, albeit banged up early in the season with the rib injury. The Chargers can do that a lot like Kansas City did it in overtime. But that said, you have to make your opportunities count, and the Titans did not do that with penalties, sacks. That sacks absolutely killed drives. Everything's not on Tannehill in the pass game. The O-line itself, with some of the penalties and sacks, you're pushing yourself back to where third downs are long. It's third down and six plus. And when you're doing that, you're not giving the advantage to your run game. Third down seven plus is pathetic. And they had, of the 11 third downs, eight of those today were over seven yards or more. That's not how this offense is built.
Nope.
And it's also not – it's very un-Vrabel-like. You know, he preaches for how many years straight about not doing stupid bleep and, you know, playing smart football, not having penalties, not having turnovers, but getting – they're not doing that. And that's why they've in large part, why they've gone on this losing streak.
Giants score a touchdown. They now lead the Commanders 7-3 on Sunday Night Football. 13:05 left in the first half of that one. This, of course, the second straight game against the Giants, the Commanders, who were off last week. Same opponent 2 of 3 weeks for the Giants, but it's the Giants now leading it 7-3 in that game.
Other finals from around the NFL, and Chad, it started, of course, on Saturday, but how about the comeback for the Vikings down,
oh, gosh.
Down 33-0 at halftime, and they come back and win that game 39-36.
Well, the Vikings, I mean, everyone is – the Vikings are frauds. The Vikings are – and there's a crazy stat. I wish I could find it. I think I took a screenshot of it. But – the plus-minus on the year for the Vikings, they're like +3, even though they're 11-3 or whatever their record is.
Yep.
And the Nebraska Cornhuskers 2 years ago were plus like 27, and they were 4-8 or 3-9 on the season. And then the Vikings are +3, yet they're 11-3. What a choke job by the Colts and Jeff Saturday and Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has now been a part – of the biggest collapse in Super Bowl history and the biggest collapse in NFL regular season history. How about that? Two different teams, same quarterback on the losing end of that.
Up 33-0. You score 17. And it's not like the offense for the Colts was doing much anyway in the first half. It was an unbelievable defensive performance from the Colts in the first half. And to lose that, where you had the turnover on downs, you had the strip fumble return. You had the interception, pick six, all of it going the opposite way. And to be down 33 points and win 39-36 in OT as the time was expiring in overtime, that's one of those games that you look at the Vikings and you think, okay, maybe it's just their year. They have now won 10 games that have been within a possession on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
10-0.
No, they're one of those teams for sure, but that was a crazy game. And then in the second game yesterday, that was
miserable.
Miserable, boring. Tyler Huntley at quarterback for the Ravens. The Ravens got to get Lamar Jackson back because that was a terrible offensive performance.
Yes, and something we never see, Justin Tucker missing field goals.
Yeah.
Several of them yesterday. Yeah. Browns over the Ravens 13-3. Bills, Dolphins was awesome.
Yes.
That was a great game. 32-29, Bills get it done in the
end.
It
felt like a playoff game.
Yes.
Snowball pelting from the fans.
Yep.
The chippiness on the sideline at times between those two teams. The noise level in Orchard Park for that game. It felt like the weather, obviously. It felt like playoff football on Saturday night. That was fun to watch start to finish.
Steelers beat the Panthers today 24-16, but as I read on Carolina, they control their path to the postseason.
At 5-9.
Because Tampa also lost today, up 17 against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They come back and lose that. The Bengals come back and win it against Tampa. Eagles over the Bears 25-20. They continue to win. They're now 13-1. Chiefs win. They lock up the AFC West 30-24 winners today in overtime against Houston. We mentioned Jacksonville. They beat Dallas 40-34. That game also in OT. Saints and Falcons 21-18 the final in that one. Plus, Chad, the Lions. 2017 winners today over the Jets.
They might sneak into the playoffs.
They could.
These Lions, 7-7 now in the season. Back-to-back plays on Sunday Night Football. Terry McLaurin gets hit early, it looked like, on a play. And both times he gets up calling for the pass interference and doesn't get it. And he's just being mocked by the Giants defensive backs. Like, you know, oh, yeah, throw the flag. Afterward. But, I mean, the way the game is called now, I'm surprised they didn't call pass interference in either one.
This game may end up at a tie. Both teams 7-5-1, and right now it's 7-3, early second quarter on Sunday Night Football.
I believe the Commanders just downed it at the one-foot line on a punt. So Giants will start this drive backed up.
We discuss the future. We discuss the present with the Titans, and Robinson was fired for the past draft picks that set up the present situation. When we come back, Chad, as we enter our final segment, let's discuss play calling, and let's discuss what we could see in the final three games for a team that's 7-7, and what we know is already the norm for this Titans offense. There is a chance for a changeup. I just don't think we're going to see it based on comments from the head coach.
I really want to get into this because there was one message sent by the owner in firing John Robinson that could be completely contradictory to what Mike Vrabel could now do with the decision, and we'll discuss it. Huge thanks, though, to our hosts, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville, and our sponsors, Renters Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them at 615-398-9550. And Two Rivers Ford in-stock inventory is back. Give them a call, 800-900-1000.
More from NFL postgame. Hutton Withrow with you on 102.5 The Game. From Outkick 360, Hutton and Withrow with you. We are live from Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Big thanks to Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports for making NFL postgame happen here on 102.5 The Game. Also, shout out to Kenny Adams, Matt Combs for making the show happen today as well. Chad, the option for Vrabel and this situation at 7-7, the offense isn't getting any better or healthier, it doesn't appear. I think they're going to use their final recall on IR to defense instead of at offense. But Tim Kelly was a coach that they attempted to reach out to when Arthur Smith left to take the head coaching job of the Falcons. The Texans denied that opportunity, and they end up with Todd Downing. Vrabel has stated, and he continues to show us through the actions or non-actions, that he doesn't believe the play calling always matches up with the result, and that more times than not, it's personnel and execution than what Downing's doing. But don't you have to try something else at some point? No, and maybe it's too little too late at this point. But with three games left, knowing the situation to get into the postseason, they've got to do more than what they're doing. And it's got to be more than just, oh, you know what, let's try Dylan Radins at left tackle in Week 15 for the first time.
I think the message when Amy Adams Strunk fired John Robinson was very clear. You guys aren't good enough as a roster. He's done a bad job assembling this team. You have no chance at a Super Bowl. You have no chance at doing anything in the playoffs. So we're making this move now to send the message that this isn't good enough, and we're going to go find someone else. And you guys aren't good enough because John Robinson provided our great coach, Mike Vrabel, with a roster that is inept and cannot win in the playoffs. If you were Mike Vrabel and you want to send the opposite message right now and tell your team it is not over, you can win in the playoffs, we can turn this thing around and be better, then he needs to follow his own mantra of coaching better, playing better, all of those good things, and replace Tim Kelly and replace Todd Downing with Tim Kelly and put him in as play caller. I think that sends a statement. Will it work? I don't know. It may not work with this personnel. Who knows? But what it does is it sends the message to your team, hey, I'm trying everything possible to pull us up out of this abyss that we're in right now with four straight losses. And that I'm going to do what it takes to see if we can change it up. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to fire Todd Downing tomorrow, but he comes back and says, we're going to do something different this week. Tim Kelly's calling plays. Todd Downing's going to help out. And then see how it works. Change it up for the sake of showing your team we're not dead yet, and let's see if we can go do something against the
Texans.
Or
let him call plays in the second half. Because we've at least seen Todd Downing have good starts offensively.
I have thought about this before. You know, let Todd Downing continue to do his game planning, which I think he does an okay job of, getting the team started on the right foot. And then if you can trade series for quarterbacks, why not play callers?
You know what, third series, you've got it.
Spurrier would do that back in the day, trade quarterbacks every other series. What if you just traded play callers every other series? This is a Downing series. This is a Kelly series. This is a Downing series. So you can go over there and you can prep. You can look at what you did wrong on your series and then get ready for the next one while Tim's calling the next series.
Chad,
I love it.
Here's another big issue for no matter the play caller. Henry had 155 yards from scrimmage in the loss last week. Today, 163. He led the team in rushing and receiving today, and they lost. I don't know what more you can do except call his number more. And that's what my biggest issue was in quarters two and three. You could have him actually – they were slow out of the gate. They scored, and then they went on this little stretch run where they weren't doing anything. And then Henry led them again, and they got points on the board. They got to do more of that. I don't know why they hesitate to call his number more unless they're telling us without telling us that he's not capable of being the 30 carry back anymore.
But I don't see that with him. It's not.
I don't either.
CBS laid out the numbers today of he was averaging over 5.5 yards per carry in the fourth quarter the last couple of years, and now it's 3.4 whatever it is in the fourth quarter, where he's not wearing teams down. But also they're going to say he's not getting the same volume in order to wear the teams down by the fourth quarter. So he's still relatively fresh. But he also hasn't had that effect on the defense where he's carrying it over the course of the game.
And some of this is self-inflicted wounds on penalties. You know, you've got the offensive line penalties or the offensive pass interference on a pick or whatever it ends up being that pushes you back, and this is not an offense that's capable of picking up a third and seven plus.
First play of the game to me is indicative of what's wrong with this team. Ben Jones with the illegal chop block on the very first play, and it's first and 22 after that. I mean, that's a three and out. You know, you're not going to get first downs, especially with this Titans offense, when you put yourself behind the sticks.
In this losing streak, now four straight for Tennessee, the Titans have scored just 15 points in the second half over the last four games. They have been outscored by 29 points in the second half. During this losing streak, the Titans are the only team currently in the AFC playoffs without a win since week 12. They're 0-4, of course. But within that, they're averaging 15.5 points per game. That's been NFL worst over the last four games. 300 yards per game is what they're averaging. 76% of their drives have resulted in 0 points scored. And they're allowing 328 passing yards per game defensively. And all of this is despite the fact that they have continued to be great against the run. They've been really good in their run defense, and they've allowed just on average 77 rushing yards per game. So the defense is doing its part to keep you in. The offense can't stay on the field.
Offense can't stay on the field. Penalties, poor offensive line play. And there's just, you know, that Denver game where they got tricky with a couple of plays.
Yep.
And Tannehill had one great pass, I remember, for a touchdown, corner of the end zone before the half. But then they had the, as you call it, the return to sender.
Yep.
With Nick Westbrook and Keeney on the flea flicker play. They're going to have to do more of that.
Well, but
I just don't it's difficult to say. Now, maybe against the Texans at home, you can be conventional and just run the hell out of Derrick Henry.
Maybe.
In this game and win it.
Stick with it, though.
But you've got to stick with it if you're going to try to do that. But also, you're probably going to have to, as lame as this sounds for an NFL team, you're going to have to throw the kitchen sink at them. You're going to have to play offensively like you are South Dakota State playing at Michigan.
Or the Colts and the Vikings against the Colts in the first half yesterday.
I mean, that's
– you know?
Well, especially when the defense has been getting worse and worse because of injury for the most part. That's going to have to be your mindset going into games.
So here's the big question. Is this a team that is unraveling, or have they unraveled?
Oh, they're
with three games to play.
They've unraveled.
Well, then I
the question then, Hutton, becomes
what would be
they pull it back together for any period of time?
Yeah, but I mean
they're fully unraveled, but is it can you put it back in the box now?
But the fact we've seen them unravel is surprising given this coaching staff, given Vrabel. That's what they pride themselves on not doing. And they've done it in four games.
But when did the unraveling happen?
Well, in the midst of the
firing John Robinson?
Of the losing streak. Yeah, they got back from Philly and they fired John Robinson and talked about it for a week.
I just don't think it helped.
No,
I'm not going to blame everything on that.
But no, it didn't.
I think that they saw a fire that was starting, and they threw lighter fluid on it.
Right now,
by firing John Robinson.
Right now, you can get the Texans +7.
Oh, jump all over it. Texans money line.
Jump on that with Superbook Sports right now.
Texans money line right now.
Other spreads just for next week early on. Atlanta getting 7 at Baltimore. That's a low scoring game. I would take the points there. Cincinnati favored by 3.5 on the road against New England. And Lions Panthers in what's an interesting matchup for the NFC postseason. Yes, including the Panthers in that matchup makes it interesting.
Hey, by the way, the AFC South may be as bad as the NFC South by the end of the year.
They could be.
You may have matching records, losing records, winning the divisions.
Detroit favored by 3 on the road in Carolina. The Browns are favored by 3 over the Saints. And just looking through here, Jags favored by 1.5 against the New York Jets. Now, part of that is they don't know the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're talking about Jacksonville favored on the road against the Jets, based on how both of these two teams started, is fascinating in week 16 now.
Giants continue to lead the Commanders 7-3 in the late second quarter in that game.
As we wrap up, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone that tunes in locally here in Nashville to 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Merry Christmas to all.
You can catch Outkick 360 tomorrow, 2 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan. And you can also download the podcast when you're done listening to Jared and Caroline. You can catch us. Just search out Outkick 360. Big thanks to Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill here at Margaritaville. Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. We are back at it all week throughout the Cromwell properties. You can join us there, hit us up on social media, and much more. For Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Big thanks to the entire crew with 102.5 for making it happen for NFL postgame.